Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, podcast family. Welcome, 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 and thank you for tuning in. This is a Hodge to Hodge podcast, the Messenger Edition. I'm Nurse Carmen, and again, we thank you for tuning in. Next, we will be having a conversation with the messenger, Ron Hodge.
Good evening, and thank you all for joining us tonight. Tonight, we will be discussing the 10 commitments.
See, you just can't call them commandments, my brother.
No, because as we've stated numerous times on our podcast, we've taken the Bible literally at its word, and we're failing to take a look at who it is or whom it is that we're really speaking about. And so I'm going to start off this podcast, and then I'll let you say what you need to say. But I'm going to start it off by saying there are no such things as the Ten Commandments. Now, before I get into explaining that, I just want to let that know there is no such thing as the Ten Commandments. Now, my brother, if you want to ask me why, if you want to say something, and then we can go into explaining them, but there is no such thing.
Now, my brother, when we start to show off with such an emphatic statement that there's no such thing as the Ten Commandments, right away, those folks going under the title of Christian would have a major issue with that. But I would like to say that let's take and look at the Ten Commandments, because again, you know as well as I know, I'm 100% behind you, Brother Messenger, because the teachings that you share with us, there's no reason, if you really understand who you are and what is inside of you, that you should be given commandments that you have a choice not to follow. That just doesn't make sense on any level. But, you know, before we go into the Ten Commandments, if you would, we're going to talk about a gentleman in the Bible by the name of Moses, supposedly of one who's done a lot of miraculous things as per the writings. And we all know, this podcast is not 100% in favor of the writings. So when we talk about Moses, the stage was set that Moses was born a Hebrew, raised by Egyptians, and then after being educated and skilled by the Egyptians, then God sought him out, or just trying to play it fair, it was already predestined that he would do all this, so now he's ready for God to command him in things. So Moses took the people out of Egypt, and there were some miraculous things that took place during that time, as per the writings. But more importantly, when he went up into the mountain and received on two tablet stones writings etched from lightning, the first writing he came down, well, it's not the first writing, but we're going to look at the Ten Commandments. And I need you to help me, my brother, explain to people why sometimes, even though you've been taught something, if you take a step back and analyze the teachings, you will find that you need to learn a new thing. First commandment, thou shalt have no other God before me. If you were to address that, brother messenger, how would that make sense to you?
Well, see, and this is why I say we need to go within so that we can better understand and not go basic on what someone else has told you. Not even what you feel, but just what it is that someone else has told you. First thing is, you got to understand this. Who would God command? Now, and I'm going to get back to your first commandment, but first of all, who would God command? Why would he set 10 commandments, have 10 commandments? Who would he command? See, now, if you knew who you were, then you would know the answer already. And why would such commandments be required? Whatever God wants is. Then how is it therefore necessary to command anyone? And if God did issue commandments, would they not be automatically kept? A commandment from God, wouldn't they automatically be kept? How could God wish something to be so badly that God would command it and then sit by and watch it not be so?
Because that's when you hear that free will. That's when you start to hear the default card, free will. But again,
God,
so go ahead. I'm sorry, my brother.
No, it's all right. What we have to understand, God is neither a king nor a ruler. God simply is an awesome creator. Yet the creator does not rule, merely creates and keeps on creating. And God has created you, blessed you in the image and likeness of God. And God has made certain promises and commitments to you. In plain language, how it would be when you would become as one with God. Now, Moses was an earnest seeker. Moses, too, now stood before God begging for answers. Oh, God, my father, God of my father, show me, give me a sign that I might tell my people how we can know that we are chosen. Okay, just so you know, right then and there, there's an error. There's an error because we are all chosen. Why? Who are we?
Who are we? When I look at that first one, I kind of come up with, now again, if you're saying God said you can have no other God before him, if you look at that, is God saying I am aware that there are other gods to choose from? I mean, again, it don't make sense to me.
And you're right. And that was just, I was going to get to that part, and you're 100% correct. But what I'm trying to do from the very start is get them to start to use their own minds, their own spirit within them. And a lot of times what happens is We are not doing that. We're just going by what a preacher, a rabbi, a mother, a father, a teacher has taught us. And so technically, a lot of us don't even know God. We know of God, but we don't know God.
The second commandment or commitment. Well, we're going to call
I do apologize. Let me just go back and respond to your first commitment. You shall love God with all your heart, your mind, all your soul, and there shall be no other God set before God. No longer will you worship human love or success, money or power, nor any symbol thereof. You will set aside these things as a child sets aside toys, not because they are unworthy, but because you have outgrown them. You shall know you have taken the path to God because. So that do not have any other God before me, that was misinterpreted. It's saying love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul. Now, I want to ask you a question before we go to the second one. Who else is it that you're required to love with all your mind, heart, and soul? Who else? Do we know who else it is?
No, I don't.
Ourselves. We should not have anything Amen. Before ourselves.
Amen.
So if you take the blinders off and just put the Bible aside for a moment and allow the Spirit within you to start talking to you, then you can begin to understand the fallacies in this whole commandment thing. These are 10 commitments. For every commandment that you give, brother, I will come back and give you the commitment, not the commandment. First one, that's how you know that you have taken the path to God. Not the commandment. You have taken the path to God. So God is telling us, when you begin to take the path to God, you shall know you have found God, for you shall love with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. And there shall be no other God set before you, because you know there is no other God. You will no longer worship human love or success, money or power, nor any symbol thereof. You shall set aside these things as child sets aside toys. Once you have started to take in the path to God.
That leads us right to the second one. Thou shalt not make any unto thee graven images, and that language changes depending on if you're looking at the Catholic commandments or depending on who interpret them. But they're saying, I think it was the First John, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. Now, why would that be a commandment or something that God said it can't happen?
Once again. Okay, we're right back at it. God, why would God tell you not to make a God? When you see, that's because in our stories and in our religion and stuff, we don't have God as God. We've got God as some jealous king, some jealous ruler, insecure. And so this is why they would say it would have commandments. But I'm saying that when you have taken the path to God, you should not use the name of God in vain, nor will you call upon God for frivolous things. You will understand the power of words and of thoughts, and you will not think of invoking the name of God in an ungodly manner. You should not use God's name in vain, because you cannot. For God's name, the great I am, is never used in vain.
We're on the graven images, my brother. You're going too fast for us. You're going slow down, brother messenger. Don't lose them. We're talking about Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images.
See, when you come to know, when you come to know who God truly is, when you come to know who God truly is, then you will understand that when you created all of this, wouldn't that be pretty petty of you to say not to make another God? What you have to understand is God would be talking to him himself. This is, once again, why this is not commandment. And it's hard for people to accept because of the fact that they do not believe who they are. They do not believe that they are part of the body of God. So that do not make images and stuff, that's just man's words, not God's words.
And that'll segue right into thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And I have to say, how is that even possible?
Correct. Because you have to understand, when you come to understand the great I am, the great I am, and that's you as well. And what we have to understand there, just like a genie in the bottle, anything that you say, when you say that comes after I am, that is what sets in motion the universe to produce for you what it is that you want. Now, some people might say, well, if that's the case, how come I haven't gotten all the things that I wanted in this? You know why? It's because you keep changing your mind. One minute, we're asking for $1,000. The next minute, we're asking for $1,000,000. So you have to understand, when you speak this out into the atmosphere, you say, I want $1,000. So the universe starts to work because of the power in the word. It starts to work to produce you the $1,000. And before the universe can produce it for you, what have you done? You've changed it from $1,000 to $1,000,000. Now the universe has to start over again. And this is why a lot of things that we ask in God's name or in Jesus' name for, it seems like it doesn't come to us because we say it, but we don't mean it. And I'll give you a good example. And I'm going back a few years, and my brother, you'll remember this. One 4th of July, I was laying in bed. It was a Saturday. Laying in bed, didn't have much money. Let me be honest with you, I had no money. And my dear mother, the ones that sing this lovely song as we go out, my dear mother said, you know what? It's time for you to get you a car. And I'm trying to figure out, well, unless she got some money, I don't know how she gonna pull this off. But she woke up with the intentions of her son getting a car. And I'm telling you today, I had no money. And I walked off the lot with a brand new, nobody else's driven vehicle. $45,000, and we're talking about 15, 16 years ago. So you know how expensive that was.
But how was that using his name in vain?
Huh? No, that's not using the name in vain. That's showing how when you believe and you say that I am, after I am, it's power. Well, when you say, like, for instance, I'll give you another example. When you say, I want, and then you wonder why you didn't get what you want. But technically, you did. You just don't realize it because what you said. When you said, I want $1,000, so what the universe does is it gives you wanting. Do you understand what I'm saying there? It gives you wanting because that's what you ask for. I want $1,000. So the universe says, okay, here, now you're wanting $1,000. Power in the word. And this is why we have to be mindful of what it is that we say and expect. And then we say that God didn't give it to us. God is not going to give you anything. God has allowed you to get whatever you want. He has created you in the image and the likeness of him. You are God in the flesh. Now, I know people might think it's blaspheming because the only God in the flesh was Jesus. But you got to understand, there is no difference between you and Jesus. And I'm sorry, my brother. I know we wanted to stay on the commandments, and we can go right back to it. But it's important for us to understand these things so that we can better understand who and whom we are. We are part of the body, a royal priesthood. And when I say we, I mean every single living thing. God is life.
Amen.
Okay.
All right. Here, the fourth commitment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. And before I turn that back over to you, the Sabbath day has been changed. So when we talk about, again, a commandment from God, how is that possible to change the Sabbath day? Because most older calendars teach you that the Sabbath day is Saturday. When Christianity begins to take, when Catholicism begins to take hold, they decided that since the Sabbath for Hebrews was on Saturday, well, we're going to be different, and they put it on Sunday. So I go back to you and say, if there's a commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The seventh day is the Sabbath day of the Lord thy God. How is that a commandment? And if it is a commandment, how was that able to be changed?
You shall remember to keep a day for God, and you shall call it holy. This is so that you do not stay long in your illusion that you're not part of God, but because yourself to remember who and what you are. And then shall you soon call every day the Sabbath and every moment holy on your path to God.
Honor thy father and thy mother. That's a commandment.
You shall honor your mother and your father, and you shall know you are the son of God when you honor your father, mother, God, and all that you say or do or think. And even as you so honor your mother, father, God, you honor your father, mother on earth, for they have given you life. So too will you honor everyone. Now, I just want to throw a quick question out there. Why would you have to honor everyone?
Because the teachings are everyone is you. So when you honor everyone else, you honor yourself also.
All right now.
I get a gold star.
I get a gold star.
Well, here's one that's... so controversial, a commandment from God that says, thou shall not kill. Now, me being a military veteran, am I going against the will of God because I'm in the Army? Because from time to time, that's what we have to do. So how am I calling myself a follower of the commandments? But I find myself in the military.
I go back to, once again, you will know you have found God when you observe that you will not murder, that is, willfully kill without cause. Hear what I'm saying now. Willfully kill without cause. But while you will understand that you cannot end another's life in any event, why is that? Because all life is eternal. You will not choose to terminate any particular incarnation, nor change any life form from one form to another without the most sacred justification. Your new reverence of life will cause you to honor all life forms, including plants, trees, and animals, and to impact them only when it is for the highest good.
So what I hear you say, to kill without cause. See, now, I've always understood that God's word stands alone. And if God's word says, thou shalt not kill, was it later on that we added without cause? Because, see, that was, I mean, in any book that you look in, that's what it says, thou shalt not kill. So when we talk
right.
about not killing, again, it doesn't talk about just cause. It just says, don't do it. If we're going
don't
by the commandments.
It. Right. And once again, you say commandments, I say commitments. And what I'm trying, and this is why I'm trying to show the difference to it. For any person, Christian, non-believer, or anything, to think that they won't kill, don't you realize when you pull a plant up out of the ground, you're killing it? You're not killing it. What you're really doing is causing it to change its life form. Because all life is eternal. And then, if that be the case, do you know no more bacon for breakfast? No more steaks for dinner?
Easy, doctor.
So if we go by this teaching of thou shalt not kill, we're missing the point. And that's only because we're following behind blind people. It's the blind leading the blind. And it's time for us to open our eyes and our mind so that we can better understand once again who and whom we are.
Let's move to number 7. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, before you start, it was okay, and I know they say the coming of Jesus, there was a new veil, but it was okay to have several wives as long as you married them.
Well, let me explain this to you, okay? You will not defile the purity of love with dishonesty or deceit. For this is adulterous. When you have found, I promise you, when you find God, you shall not commit this adultery. And I know this is going to really rock some people both, okay? But let's just use as an example. If you are in a relationship, you're married or whatever you want to, however you want to do it. You're in a relationship and you have an affair with someone else, okay? And then you come back and you lie about it. That's the adultery. But if you and your partner are okay with that happening, that's not adultery. That's two consenting people doing what they want to do. The adultery part comes in with the dishonesty or the deceit.